FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network, and it's 1-8-19. You know, before you know it, January will be behind us. Before you know it, so will 2019. But there are so much more to come in 2019 in the next 11 and roughly three quarters months that you have to listen to the next person you're about to hear from. Because if you don't, it could really cost you bigly, as someone would say. But first, as always, the email address to be a part of the show is kl@carrielutz.com. Anyway, David Modell is with us again. And David, you've been with us before, and you've got some words of wisdom. First, if you want to go follow David's work, then I highly recommend you go to www.portfoliowealthglobal.com. David, welcome back to the show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here once again.
So, reading, you've had a long history in analysis of financial markets, of stocks. I mean, you're somebody that really knows what they're talking about. And your belief now is that we are officially in a bear market for stocks. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't care whether it's official or not. I know that we are. We've been seeing some dead cat bounces. I'm sure your listeners recall that day when the markets, the S&Ps, the Dow, and the NASDAQ all went up 5% in one day. That was about a week and a half ago. And that might have felt like the worst is over. But these large moves, both to the upside and the downside, for those of us who've been trading and investing for many years, if you've been trading and investing through 2000, through 2008, 2009, you'll recall that these big moves to the upside and downside occur right before major, major downturns and bear markets. Even those big up days are still volatility. Remember the definition of volatility. People think it means just down movement. No, volatility works in both directions. If you look at the chart of any major index, let's take the S&P 500 throughout 2016, 2017, especially 2017, you saw the VIX, the volatility index, below 10 for much of the year. That's unusual. You saw a slow, steady, increase, a rise, just grinding upward throughout the entire year of 2017 for sure. But for most of the last 2 years, just slowly upwards. And then what happened in 2018? Cardiac arrest is the best way I can describe it. Yep. That's what you saw in 2007, 2008. That's what you saw right before the dot-com crash, the bursting of that bubble in 2000. You're seeing it now. And I'm not just a chart guy. The fundamentals are also crumbling. And we could talk about that as well. But just from a chartist point of view, this is what the cusp of a bear market looks and feels like. And we're seeing that right now.
And I tend to agree with you. But on the other hand, I'm kind of a Dow theorist. Mm-hmm. I think the Dow theory still applies. And basically, what it says is you can have these intermediate market reversals, meaning if the market's going up, it could then go down for 3 to 6 months, or from a couple of weeks to 6 months. Or if it's going down, it could go up for the same period of time. And that everybody mistakes as the beginning of a new bear market or a new bull market, but it's not necessarily. It's an intermediate reversal. I mean, we see it on all the indices. They're confirming there's definitely a reversal correction taking place. But the only thing that gives me pause here is, David, that we haven't had any correction of over 10% in 10 years, which is unheard of, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
Unheard of.
Yeah, that we're breaking a lot of records in the worst possible way. We did get our 20%er, recently in the major indexes. What a lot of people in the corporate media are not reporting on enough would be yield inversions, multiple yield inversions going on. And so for people who don't know, I'm sure your listeners are very sophisticated and they know about that. But
we like to think when, so.
Well, look, when multiple yields invert, this is something that's happened before every single recession in the United States. It's happened 17 times in the last 100 years, and they always lead to a recession. And right now we're flattening and inverting on multiple time frames. There are a number of different couplings, as I like to call them, the 1 year and the 2 year, 2 and 5 year, 5 and 10 year. What people need to watch the most is the 2 year and the 10 year. When those invert, look out. And when the Fed funds rate, which is the safest yield for banks, when that eclipses the 5 year, you have to be very cautious as well. And we're very close to that right now. The Fed is aware of all this, and that's why it's going to look to stop raising rates, in my opinion. It doesn't want to be at fault for bringing the U.S. into a recession. And you've got all the heat on the Fed right now from President Trump. There's a lot of tension, a lot of misalignment between the president and the Fed right now. We actually have a report on that, portfoliowealthglobal.com/attack, and another one, portfoliowealthglobal.com/drama. Attack and drama. These are reports that go into much more detail than I can right now on what's likely to happen over the coming year. But this is super important. You got to watch the yield inversion closely. Leads to a recession. We're reporting on it in our reports and in our newsletter because it's the number one most important thing to be watching right now, even more than the charts, more than anything else.
Hey, one thing I'd like to also point out is the peak in employment, all right, which has led to a coincident dip or bottoming of new claims for unemployment insurance. We won't go into the workforce participation rate because I don't think it's as good a measure for the simple reason that so many baby boomers are retiring that I think it's going to take a big dip down for the foreseeable future. And we've got automation, other things. It's not necessarily the solid indicator it once was, but 3.8% unemployment, even though we know that U1 has been cooked by the Commerce Department. Fact is that new claims for unemployment insurance are at generational lows, maybe all-time lows, and that is always a lagging indicator that is coincident with a peak in the economy and the market.
Right. And I like to say recovery, what recovery? Okay. I don't think it ever actually happened.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, yes, the reported unemployment is very low, but that's the reported unemployment. And this is not, I'm not making a political statement.
Both.
Yeah, it's a fact. Every administration does this, regardless of what side of the aisle they're on. Okay. Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever. They all cook the books and fudge the numbers in their favor. The real unemployment rate is much more interesting to me. There is outsourcing. There is automation. I don't see those great jobs coming back. I just don't see it, which is why people need to get into, especially millennials. Okay. You know, at my age, you know, I'm getting closer to retirement. So at least there is a possibility some Social Security funding might be there, maybe. But if you're a millennial now, and I have so much respect for the millennials, they're a huge part of my audience.
Yeah.
And, but they're going to be in trouble if they don't get into certain industries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to be outsourced. It's going to be automated. You know, millennials right now are the biggest. Did you know this? They actually eclipsed baby boomers recently.
Correct. That is very true.
Yeah, they are actually
it there.
Yeah, very yeah, true. They are the biggest generation right now. So they need to get into, for example, real estate, I think is going to be as strong as ever over the next 10 to 20 years. I think they need to get into IT. They need to get into, for example, the position of web developer will grow by 27% by the year 2024. Okay, so certain industries will be okay. Cannabis. if you're into that, if your audience is into that. I know that millennials have actually a very positive, progressive attitude toward the cannabis movement. The cannabis industry is projected to reach $57 billion globally.
Yes.
Globally, by 2027, North America, the cannabis industry will reach $47.3 billion by 2027. There's going to be a demand for certain cannabis career tracks, shall I call it? You could be a dispensary manager, a bud tender. I love that name, don't you?
Bud tender. That's a little euphemistic, but hey, you know.
That's the official name.
I know. I've met them before, and they're like, they're basically retail sales staff, all right, who have a specific specialty, shall we say, in in cannabis products and what it will do to your mind.
It's kind of a funny name, bud tender, but it's a real job, and it's growing, you know, by leaps and bounds. Quality control inspectors, cultivation and extraction directors, and of course, marketers, sales representatives, all that stuff, going to increase over the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, I know I know what my next career is here. Unfortunately, you have to imbibe in this stuff to be an expert, and that I'm not willing to do at this particular stage in my life, but.
They say, don't get high on your own supply, they say. So there you go.
That's for sure. Hey, and not to mention here that, you know, when there's a definite need of security personnel to staff all of these cannabis dispensaries, because evidently people want to rip them off for all the cash they've got. And my daughter actually witnessed a, what would you say, a shooting in LA where they tried to rob a cannabis dispensary, and it wasn't, it was very unsuccessful, and the guy basically died doing it, you know? So anyways.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that happened. That's terrible. And so there is going to be a need for security as well. It's a global phenomenon. I don't know if you're as excited about the cannabis movement as I am, but I'm sure your audience, you know, is on board, at least as an investor. You don't have to necessarily partake of it or even approve of it to understand that it is happening state by state. The movement gained three new states in 2018, and we lost Jeff's. We lost Jeff Sessions. I don't think there's going to be a huge party for him going out.
Well, there might be, but not one he would approve of. But yeah, like Michigan is the biggest state, and it's recreational. We've got Massachusetts coming on board with new outlets, if you will. And everything is looking very green for the cannabis industry. We just got to hope that they don't overproduce and start consuming their own supply, as you say, because that's an issue. But I think it'll be addressed by the branding aspects of what we're looking at here. So cannabis, certainly the ancillary industries are all going to be pluses. What else are we seeing here, David?
Yeah, and but just as an addendum to that, CBDs, cannabidiols, are going to be huge as well. For people who don't know, that is the part that doesn't get you high of the cannabis plant, a low THC concentration. Look to that. There's we have a report on that, portfoliowealthglobal.com/cannabis top, if people want to learn more about that, how to get in, invest in CBDs by the year 2020, its CBD sales are going to total around $1.15 billion just in the United States. It's going to be huge.
Huge. as someone would say.
People would say. But it's also great for farmers, by the way. The farming industry is going to benefit big time from CBD.
Bigly. Yeah. That's bigly.
Well, look, CBD oil for farmers can take in $8,000 per acre versus $600 for corn, for example. Right. Yeah. Yes. So it's going to be bigly and huge, as they say. And with the passage, you know, the farm bill went to President Trump's desk. He signed it. Congress passed it. So hemp is now legal.
Yeah. Yep. It should have never been. You know, that That is a story in itself, why hemp, which produces no psychoactive or very minimal, like nothing amounts of THC, was outlawed and for no reason whatsoever, other than if you're a conspiracy theorist, you might think that a certain manufacturer of fibers, synthetic fibers, that literally is one of the cartel that controls the country, might have had something to do with having it outlawed. But otherwise, hey.
81 years of prohibition have come to an end. You know, there was a Marijuana Tax Act in 1937, replaced by the Controlled Substances Act, which is still in effect. Yes, marijuana tech for now, technically a what do you call it? Schedule I drug for now. But hemp is now legal. Not that you couldn't get CBD products before, but now it'll just be you can do it and just relax. You don't have to kind of, you don't have to go on Amazon and you don't have to hide the product anymore.
Yeah. And really, you know, come on. It was like there was no point. Well, anyway, we could get into this, you know, all day long, but the fact of the matter is these times are a changing, as Bob Dylan once said, right? Mm-hmm. Now things are going to get interesting. So you also mentioned, when we were talking earlier in the call, precious metals. So precious metals have been literally the Maytag repairman of investable assets for going on close to 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, the NASDAQ, if you're into just the major indexes, the S&Ps, the Dow, the NASDAQ, man, if you're not diversifying into precious metals right now, you're just exposed, okay, and not in a good way. Yeah. The NASDAQ went into bear market territory in December. S&P and the Dow came down 20% top to bottom, a bear market, technically speaking. It was the worst December for the S&P 500 since inception in 1957, the worst December since the Great Depression for stocks overall. I think it was justified completely. that's just my opinion. I think it's the beginning of worse things to come. You've got a shutdown. I don't think many people thought it would go on this long, but it has. And with President Trump tweeting that it could go on for months or years. That's his words, not mine. Yeah. You've got yield curve inversions, which I'd already discussed. You've got the trade war. Remember, Trump tweeted that he's a tariff man. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is not for or against any particular party. This is just things that he's said. And so you have to protect yourself.
Sure.
I protected myself during previous administrations as well. And I'm protecting myself now. So you want to get into gold, which had its best 2 months in years. It is, you know, the old saying, the longer the base, the higher in space.
Yes.
Well, would you consider all of 2018 a pretty long base? I would. So it is going to go very high in space. I'm talking about precious metals. If you like something that moves a little bit less to the upside and downside, there's always physical gold. Mm-hmm. If you want something that moves a little bit more, you can get into gold's little brother, more volatile little brother, which is silver. That's fine. And with the gold to silver ratio being around 80 right now, which has happened only four times since the year I was born, 1971, and unfortunately the year that the United States took the currency of the United States off of the gold standard. So yes, it was a good year since I was born. Not such a good year for the U.S. dollar, though, unfortunately.
Not so much.
Go ahead and Google U.S. dollar purchasing power since 1971 and look at some of those charts, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Down, and more down.
Totally.
Yes, we had a dead cat bounce in the U.S. dollar last year. Okay, it was the best performing global asset class, the U.S. dollar. Doesn't happen very often, and actually not a good sign. But the U.S. dollar is not going to continue to outperform. It's already starting to fizzle, and it's going to go back to its usual MO, which is just to go down over time. That is not good for the dollar. I hope you're not just staying in all cash right now. So what you need to be doing is getting at least some precious metals, in my opinion. I cannot tell people what to do, what not to do, but I'm definitely accumulating. If you want something that moves slowly, gold. If you want something that moves a little faster, try silver. If you want something that moves even a little bit faster than that, or a lot faster than that, you can try precious metals. Mining stocks, I should say. The miners are a great way to leverage into precious metals if you pick and choose them carefully. Don't just get into any old one, though. Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Pick and choose carefully. If you go to portfoliowealthglobal.com/silver/silver, we have a report on that. I can tell you in this report and in the newsletter that we are revealing certain picks in the stock market. I'm not a huge fan of stocks right now, but if you get into certain stocks like Silver One Resources, great silver play right now, you might want to check that out. Get into certain select ones. You have to make sure that they have plenty of resources, no debt. They have to be into mining-friendly regions. They have to have a really great track record, great visionary leadership, and you want a pure play. Most silver companies are not even silver companies, really, even though they might have silver in their name.
They're byproduct miners.
Silver is a byproduct for most companies. They're mostly into copper, lead, zinc, nickel, things like that. And so you think you're buying a silver company, and actually you're not. Very clever the way they put silver in the name, or gold into the name.
Yes.
That kind of thing. All right. So companies like First Majestic Silver.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. Keith Neumeyer. I'm sure you've
known him for years. I mean, I got into this business, you know, the first time I went to the Silver Summit in Spokane, I met him. And that's when First Majestic was just starting to take off. And he's a brilliant guy. Brilliant guy. And, you know, he's out to build his third multi-billion dollar company. And he's an unbelievable venture capitalist and has given so many people opportunities in that space who would have never had anything. So I can't
first
say
mining,
good things about him.
He's called Mr. Silver for a reason. And First Mining Gold went up 65% in the first 3 days of the year. So it's doing okay. Now, I don't usually like to buy asset classes that have just gone up so much. But First Mining Gold is great. Silver One is great. Yes. You got
to
pick
and choose. Got to disclose I own Silver One. And they have been a frequent sponsor of the show over the years. But nonetheless, the stock was beaten down. It's starting, looks like it's starting to pick back up. I don't recommend anything. I'm just being transparent in my holdings. So,
totally. You know, totally. Yeah. Well, it's down 80% top to bottom, 50% in 2018.
You have to rub it in, but just the past few days, it's gone up by 50% or so.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's coming back. I don't know. But it just seems like they're well positioned. And I like the people who run it. They are professionals have been successful in the past. But again, you make your own decisions. We don't tell you to buy or sell anything here. But it's worth looking at for sure because it is a pure silver play.
Yeah, and that's what I look for, pure plays. Look, you got to hedge. You got to hedge somehow. You need a crisis hedge right now. The global debt, $184 trillion.
Yeah.
The U.S. debt. Have you ever looked at the debt? Excuse me, the debt clock. That website.
That thing is spinning around. That debt clock is going so fast that nothing can keep up with it. That is the bull market. The bull market in debt creation. That is truly a bubble. When you look at them, look at the Treasury bill production. And world debt as well. It's not just the U.S., but we're the worst.
We're the worst. Yeah.
But
it's 22. We're approaching $22 trillion in debt in the United States. It just keeps going. We're kicking the can down the road. Every administration does this. So, you know, the Fed just loves to keep printing money. We've got tension between the president and the Fed right now. You know, could you imagine what is going to happen to the markets if Trump fires Jerome J. Powell? What is that going to look like? What is that going to happen to your portfolio and mine?
that will be a St. Valentine's Day massacre for for you name it, you know, that will be the economic St. Valentine's Day massacre, because that will be the excuse to just plow everything under. Anyways, hey, I think we covered a lot there. If people want to find out more about you and connect with you on the web, where should you go?
Absolutely. We've got the newsletter at PortfolioWealthGlobal.com. People can plug in their email address. It's a no obligation kind of thing. We just put out the information. And unlike most people who don't have a whole research team on their side, I have a little advantage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can visit, and my team can actually go and visit the CEOs of these companies. We can visit the factories. We can find out what's going on in precious metals, in cannabis, in blockchain. We didn't even get into cryptos, but maybe next time. There's so many asset classes that are going to outperform the major indexes. Yeah. So Portfolio Wealth Global is a great resource. I recommend people check it out. And they can email me, David Modell, M-O-A-D-E-L, @gmail.com. I'll send over whatever resources they need.
All right. Hey, we'll have a link to your site in the show notes. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. People like you that enable us to get the message out, to let people know what's really happening in the economy and what you need to do to survive and thrive. I was saying, David, for the past decade that we were in the new economy. We are now going into the new economy. And that is what you got to be scared about. Not scared, but you need to be prepared, have a plan, invest in things that are going up. You know, Will Rogers used to say, invest in inflation. It's the only thing going up. Yep. And I think we're going to hit a time like that yet again. And then it's Katie bar the door. Hey, we'll have your link up there. It's in the show notes now. Really appreciate you coming on, David. And you helped me better understand and clarify the activity going on in the stock markets. Now, I hope it helped you. By the way, guys, we love it when you participate in the show. We can't get enough of your emails. That address is kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed @carrylutz. Hey, if you are listening to this on YouTube or you're listening to podcast from other sources, we ask you to please subscribe, like, and share us. It really helps me a lot. And it really helps us get the message out to so many of you out there who need to hear these words, because time is a wasting. Time is running out. You need to act now. Anyway, David, we'll talk to you again real soon. Be well, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.